You are watching the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live.
Hey, how is it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast. Could you guys imagine if I ever started off without saying that? Would it feel, like, unnatural?
Hey, everybody, how's it going? My name is Akeem.
Or even I just was like, this is the Hoop Central podcast, the best place for real. Like, if I was listening to that, I'd be like, this is not the same podcast that I listen to all the time. So, if y'all wondering, why do they always start off with the same kind of, I guess you could say, generic, hey, we're just a couple of dudes, regular dudes, talking about basketball.
Yep.
If you want a Stephen A. Smith, go watch Stephen or go listen to Stephen A. Smith.
The hypocrisy.
The blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
All those big words that nobody knows the meaning of, that's what you get here. But no shade to Stephen A. We just like to keep things comfortable.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got our quotations. We got our sayings.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But with that being said, this is your boy Nakeem alongside me. None other than my boy Malik. Malik. Besides what we will talk about later on, how you been? How's you feeling, man?
F-A-N-T-A-S-T-I-C. I was going to try to do the French version. I think the French version is
fantastic. It's like a Q?
I-Q-U-E.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
I'm always fantastic.
Yeah, that's exactly how we should be. We love it even when things aren't fantastic in different areas of our lives or interests that we might have.
Yes.
We still got to stay fantastic.
Fantastic.
You know, Russell Westbrook was recently in the headlines with some altercations with fans, which is nothing new to Russell. We know that Russ has got into a fence. Well, basically, he took to the post-game press conference and said how his name is being in question. People are, like, talking down his name. It's having effect on his family. His wife even came out and said some things, I believe, some stuff targeted at Skip Bayless before. But also, he's received death threats, I think that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He received death threats.
You received death threats, wow. And then obviously he's taken exception to the whole Westbrook name that's been going around. So there's obviously some stuff to talk about there because obviously this is going to bridge into mental health, which is a serious topic itself. But Malik, when it comes to this whole Russell Westbrook situation, I'm gonna pose out this one thing.
Okay.
I have a solution for these names and all the stuff that's happening with the fans towards Russ.
Ooh.
I have a solution to how we can stop this.
What is it?
I know it might sound like it's crazy. I know this might be a little bit too far of a reach, like a little bit outside of the realm of basketball. I know it. So please just like bear with me. Don't like chastise me or anything, okay?
Ooh, I like that word, chastise.
But how about he just plays better? That wasn't even a sound effect. That was Malik. But that's my solution. Like, I'm not saying I obviously how Westbrook feels is a priority. Obviously, I don't like when players feel that way. Of course. But we've seen this with Paul George in the bubble. He was called Pandemic P, and even going into the new season, the season after, he was still called Pandemic P whenever he had a bad game. But what did he do? He played good and got himself out of that name. I just think Westbrook just has to play good. The death threats, although, I say that's a little bit too far. I don't think anyone should receive death threats for anything like that. But I guess I might be in the minority or something, or I guess majority of fans feel the same way. I just have a mic in front of me saying it. But it's just that if you're playing bad, it comes with sports. Not even just the stature of where you're at. Even if we're playing local games, if there's a guy, a friend that I know, he had a story that he was telling me the other day.
Nakeem's friend.
And he was mentioning how back at his school, there's a guy whose nickname was Laser. Whenever they played basketball, nickname was Laser.
Damn.
You want to guess why?
Why?
Because he was so bad at shooting that they would joke around and call him Laser as just a joke because they know he wouldn't make the shot. Not even because he was a dead-eye knockdown shooter, because of the complete opposite. But see, that's the thing about sports. You've always had names like that. Even if like Westbrook, for example, is very creative, actually. I can't lie. But like, there's always been those names. LeBron with this whole La something, like La Choke, La whatever, La this, La that, La everything in between.
La this, La that, La
but GM. It's literally, I just feel like it's a part of sports. I think that Westbrook just got to, he's doing a little bit too much of a talking approach. When we would see before Westbrook in like 2016, he would be like, all right, I'm going to show you on the court that I'm better than what you're saying. So I just think that he just needs to play better. The Lakers as a team just need to play better. I think this is also just a product of all this bad. Every possible thing that could go wrong with Los Angeles and the Lakers right now is going bad. So I think this is just everything accumulated into this. But do you even think that it can get turned around with the remaining time of the season? Give your thoughts and then answer that question if you feel you can.
Yeah, I honestly feel for Westbrook 100%. I do agree that he's talking a little too much. Maybe he's getting wrapped up in his head. But as an NBA superstar, you just want to let the game speak for itself and just do your thing.
Play.
You're a veteran on a struggling LA team and just give it 110% all the time on the floor and just show that, you know, I'm showing a little bit of heart. Even if you don't want me here, I'm still giving this. And even though it doesn't work out, because I think Westbrook and the Lakers have mutually agreed to possibly find him a new home in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever little heart you have left for the city of LA, just give it your all and show them that, you know, I could do a little bit. And the thing is, he hasn't been all bad this season, but he hasn't been all good this season. He's had a couple nice games. He has a couple of triple-double, really nice games, shooting efficiently from the floor, setting his teammates up, and yeah. Everything seemed good, rainbows and sunshine and rainbows, but at the same time, it just shows that this core group just always looks discombobulated.
Yeah.
When you have three stars in one team, like we've seen, the only team Brooklyn could possibly bridge that gap, or they tried, but then, hey.
Even then, that was a failure too, yeah.
But when you have three superstars on one team, could possibly not mesh well because they want the opportunities, they want their stats to come up. It's not all about stats, but it's what they're used to, and it's how the style of play that they've been accustomed to for like probably all their life for a couple of years. Like LeBron had a transition from going from Cleveland to Miami, from Miami back to Cleveland to the Lakers.
There are other teams that do that to their fans.
Absolutely, and you know, I guess you know.
I think you're wearing a sweater. Yeah,
I think
of this
I'm
team.
I'm wearing something, and you know, since the beginning of Hoop Central, when we started back in you know, we're based in Canada, Ryerson University. We started this in October of 2020.
Yes,
I believe there's one team that we haven't even talked about, and we did it on purpose so that we could talk about them now. And it is time.
It's kind of
the music.
It's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad. It's time because, to talk about this team. It's time
because we expected when we do talk about this team, it will be maybe a great playoff run or a crazy moment, you know. But instead, it's because of the opposite. Not that it's been incredibly bad. I can name a few teams that have had even worse stretches right now.
Yep.
But we're frustrated, and we have some things to say. So, imagine, guys. There's like a theme song or something that's like,
yeah,
Raptors rant.
This is worthy of a theme song.
This is the show, the segment that we're going to do. So me and Malik, as you guys know, if you're familiar with the podcast, we are fans of the Toronto Raptors.
Our number one.
And this is the team that we get behind. But every diehard fan has some stuff to get off their chest. And Malik, you know what? I'm going to put a timer on. We'll give each other 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay.
This is the Raptors rant.
So Malik,
by Nakeem and Malik. Boom.
And I'm gonna give you your timer starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
Where do I get started in this freaking team? Since coming from All-Star break, I'm trying to go present time. Since coming from All-Star break, we haven't looked the same. Gary Trent's been on a shooting slump, even though we love him. So I don't have anything to negative about him because he's still young. He's still developing. Siakam. But there's one narrative that Nakeem and I have been talking about, and it's this coaching, man. Nurse and staff and gang, you know, it's safe to say that they haven't looked the same since that Kawhi signing to the Clippers. You could say that. I think they've tried, you know, that Boston series with like that last.
But continue talking.
No.
This is your time.
Okay, no, honestly, I think Nick Nurse is doing his thing. It's a lot of pressure when you have starters playing 40 minutes a game. It's, you know, the playbook the playbook becomes a bit shortened, and you have to go through specific plays that you're comfortable with, because some, because if you don't have plays that you're not doing in practice, then they have no experience with it.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
I think that the Raptors are the type of team that if we're fully healthy, we compete. And Toronto Raptors are the type of team that we could beat any team, but we could lose to any team. We lost to Orlando. We lost to Detroit. They swept us this year. Last place team, everybody. And we're just that type of team. But I'm not really upset, because I expect this to be maybe 9th or 10th. But we're doing better than expected, and we're actually in the play-in. So I would say if we just stick to the plan, pound the rock to get better, just like Dwayne Casey said, and trust the process, not like Philadelphia, but trust the Toronto We the North process, then we'll get through this. We just have to get healthy. I feel like these injuries are, you know, the Raptors are extending these deliberately. They're not as serious as they think. It's just we're positioned where we want to be positioned, because Masai has a plan for next year. We're going to make a big free agent splash, and there's really no pressure on us this year. If we win the plan, we advance, sure. If we lose the plan, whatever, like, doesn't matter. At least we tried. So next year is probably a big year for us, but the year after will probably be the one where we have to go all in. But man, this Raptors rant, I think we're in an okay spot. We're better than we think. I think I'm just being a bit of a critique when it comes to Toronto, because we want to see them do well. We have so much high expectations, but I can't wait to hear what Nakeem has to say about the Toronto Raptors if we have the same thoughts and the same critiques. But I would say it comes down to coaching, and the players are tired, and we have to find a system, and we have to build on that.
Hey, he might like got that in right at the buzzer, a little bit over time, but hey. Hey, you did good. You got some things off your chest, and although you went with a little bit more of a I guess you could say a critical approach, you know, you criticize them and whatnot, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna start my time in 3, 2, 1. I have a lot of things to say about this team. And the thing is, I agree with you. I did not come in with the expectations for us to be a great team in the East. But. There are games that you just don't lose. You don't lose to the Orlando Magic. You don't lose to the Detroit Pistons. We've seen them play great basketball. Granted, OG and Fred are out. Yes, I'll give you that. But you have a good amount of supporting cast. I feel like they could have beat Cleveland. I feel like they could have. There's no reason why the Raptors should have been falling the way they have. When the Raptors were on that 8-game win streak, they were at the 6th seed, and Boston was right behind them. Since then, Boston just kept winning, and the Raptors just kept losing. And it's now the Raptors are at 7th. If they beat Cleveland that game, they would have moved one game back of the 6th. I believe it was like they were like 2 games back. Now they're about 2.5. No, whoa, my math is bad. They're about 3.5 games back of the 6th. Is it possible for them to still get it? Yes, but do I think it will now? Probably not. They're probably going to be a playing team.
Yeah.
But also, you brought it up. What happened to Nick Nurse?
Yeah.
I was mentioning this to Malik off recording, that I genuinely believe after the bubble season, before going to Tampa, right when they're about to board the plane, an imposter Nick Nurse showed up on there, because this isn't the same guy. There's literally no plays being ran. You have Scotty at point guard against Cleveland. Scotty had no point guard responsibilities. I was like, even if we do lose, which I went into that game expecting us to lose, I want to see how Scotty runs at the PG, because we never got to see it yet.
Yeah.
And Scotty is a capable point guard. We've seen it at Florida State.
Absolutely.
He even glimpses this season, he's been able to throw no-look dimes, push the ball up the floor. Instead of letting the offense run through him, what do they do? Scotty brings it up.
Pass
to Siakam. Siakam ISO jump shot. My time's already running. If Siakam is on it, then great. Then let it be. Also, the last thing I'll say, I am so annoyed with Raptor fans. They are so annoying. My goodness. Yeah. In what world did they think that the Raptors are going to be a dominant team in the NBA?
No way.
This was supposed to be a developmental year. And the fact that the Raptors are even in this position in the first place, they should be thankful. So I always see stuff about Raptor fans and, oh, Masai and Bobby's vision, they messed up the trade deadline.
Yeah.
We should have addressed some issues. What were we going to do? Who was available on the market? They're like Miles Turner. The Pacers traded Sabonis. They weren't going to trade Turner as well.
Nope.
Unless we got Turner first, and they would have kept Sabonis. There's so much stuff where it's like, I get fans get so caught up with trying to win, and we've been spoiled with being a successful team. But we're in a stage, a retooling, rebuilding stage. There's going to be developmental stuff. And this season, I just want to make the playoffs, seventh or eighth seed, no matter what.
Yeah.
Just because I want Precious and Scotty to get that experience.
Yes, you too.
That's the only reason why I want to make the playoffs. I don't think the Raptors are going to do jack in the postseason. Jack, not a single thing.
That's a good one.
Not a single thing in the playoffs. Maybe win a game or two. I don't know. But before we switch off into the next topic, if the playoffs were to start today, if we were to get the seventh seed, right, we would face the Sixers first round. That's a sweep for Philadelphia. I am, because who's guarding Joel on our team?
If Nurse starts Birch.
He's getting fouled out in the first 2 minutes.
Birch can't do anything. Even Precious can't
Precious
do anything.
Precious can't do anything.
Even Boucher can't do anything.
And now they got James Harden.
There's nobody you can
we're
do
gonna,
against.
I would
you
say,
can't do nothing.
I would say we get swept by the Sixers.
I got a fun segment for us planned.
Oh.
It's another one. It's another game from the game.
Okay.
It's a really cool one, so I think you'll like it. We were talking about it yesterday. I'm like, let me make a segment out of it. So who would you rather build around?
Okay. Okay.
So I got 4 to 5 matchups if we have time, depending on how long we go. And I try to make them where they position out.
Okay.
So point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. And you have to choose between 2 players. Okay. Who would you rather build around? I tried to make it as hard as I can, but maybe you'll choose them in 2 seconds.
Okay. Okay.
So, okay, I'll go random. So let's see. Pick a number between 1 and 5.
3.
Ooh, this is a good one. Hey, right up Raleigh since it's Raptors related.
Okay.
All right, so this one might be fast, but you know, I saw some debates on this, and people went with, like, it was like almost 50% drawing the line. So I want to get your opinion. Who would you rather build around, Pascal Siakam or Domantas Sabonis?
Oh wow, okay. So who am I rather building around?
No bias.
Who am I building around? Okay, so at the time of this, I believe Sabonis is 25, 26, and Siakam is around 28, 29, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
I'll double check. That is going to play just a little bit into my...
Sabonis 25.
25, and Pascal Siakam is 27. Okay, so it's just a 2-year gap. If I'm building a team, what would I build around? I think I'll build around Pascal Siakam. And I say that because it is tough, because Sabonis is such a good playmaker and a rebounder, but I believe that Siakam is a better defender. Mm-hmm. And the things that he doesn't do as good as Sabonis on the offensive end, I don't think that's such a large margin. I think Pascal is a pretty good playmaker himself and is improving in that facet of his game.
Absolutely.
But I think defensively, he's just another notch above Sabonis. And that's why Siakam's been an all-NBA second team player, and I don't think Sabonis has ever made an all-NBA team, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
So I'll go Pascal, too.
I think the biggest difference maker is the defense in that, because Sabonis is known to be a subpar defender under the rim in the paint with other centers like DeAndre Ayton or Joel Embiid. He struggles against that
100%
because he has to kind of build that, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like that memory or that consistency to guard the paint, spread the floor, get rebound.
Pascal Siakam
has had experience playing at the 3, the 4, the 5. He could guard more positions than Sabonis for sure, because he's versatile and he's pretty fast. He's much faster than Sabonis. So
definitely athletic.
So if there's like picks coming, he could switch off the dribble. The mismatches, I think he can tend that as well. So I do believe that Siakam is the better fit, and he's much better of an all-around player. Sabonis might be... you could argue that Sabonis could be a possibly better mid-range shooter than Siakam. They're pretty even, actually.
Yeah,
but if Siakam
develops
the outside shot, he'll be a force to be reckoned with, I'm telling you. He has to develop that consistency. This year, his defense efficiency has gone a little bit down, but I think his presence or his wingspan just makes it good enough that he's still a really good defender.
Pretty
decent defender. So I'll go Siakam with you. All right, number 2. All right, we'll go with this one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or DeJounte Murray?
Oh, I was expecting a different name instead of DeJounte if we said Shai. But, that's a tough one. That is a very tough one.
It's a good one, actually.
Let me check how old DeJounte Murray is, because I feel like he might be younger than I think he is.
I'll check Shai's age.
I think Shai's like 21 or 22 or something like that.
DeJounte's
25 years old.
Shai is 23 years old.
23 years old. Oh, this is another tough one, because DeJounte is a great defender. He kind of does a bit of everything. We've seen him on the big stage in the postseason and whatnot. But I think I'm going to have to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because if I'm building my team, DeJounte Murray is great, but I don't think that DeJounte could be like a number one or even a number two guy on my team. I believe Shai can be at least a number two. I don't know if he can be a number one, but I think he can be a number two option. And we've seen, although OKC's been bad, he's been going crazy.
I won't be surprised if he gets player of the week.
But even
this week,
even despite this season and last season OKC being bad, he was great with Chris Paul. Like, he had, I believe, a 2020-10 game or 2020 game or something with Chris Paul as a Thunder member.
He arguably had a better season last year than this year.
Yeah. Shai. And I think that we've seen him play in the playoffs and be good, so he can do it. And that's why I think I'll go Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'll go Shai Gilgeous too. I think these two are so close because you could tell that these two have been in rebuilding teams, yes, but they haven't been around a team that's in contention yet. They have no experience with that. So it's gonna be interesting to see 2 years down the road how these two will act.
DeJounte was close to it. He was drafted in 2016, so which means he was a part of that 2017 Spurs team.
Wow.
And if Kawhi doesn't go down, they might win the championship that year.
Imagine DeJounte and Kawhi.
So they got about a season under their belt together.
But didn't he get injured that year?
That's the year he got injured.
He was out for a year and a half. It was a big injury.
So he played his rookie season with Kawhi, like, fully. And then Kawhi got injured in the playoffs. And then after that, he played, maybe four games in the next season. And then that was it.
Yeah.
But that Spurs probably thought that would have been a great pairing. DeJounte, a great defensive guard with a great defensive wing.
Oof.
Man, looking back at San Antonio.
It's so close as a comparison. But the reason I argue Shai is a little bit better, I would build around him, is because, you know, he's probably one of the best guards at his age, under 25, that could create space. He's a great space creator, and
he
could create his own shot. He's had big games. I think these last six games,
he's going,
everyone's
crazy.
Saying he's averaged NBA 2K numbers.
Literally,
I've seen he's averaging almost a triple double, shooting 60%.
Almost,
I think,
like, or 30, like 28 points or something like that.
He's going insane. But John Demur is good too. He could create his own shot. But I think at the end of the day, I think they're both tall guys, but I think when it comes down to athleticism, versatility, and be able to fit around guys, because Shai has experience with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think Shai is the better fit at the end.
Yeah, I'll go Shai.
Absolutely. Number three. This one is I think this one's the toughest one. Let's see. Jaylen Brown or Chris Middleton?
I had to think about that. That's a weird
That's an interesting
thing,
one, right?
But,
that's an interesting one.
I'll go Jaylen Brown. I did a quick fire one. Just because I believe Jaylen Brown is younger. And I feel like Jaylen Brown has a higher ceiling than Chris Middleton, just primarily because of his athleticism. Chris Middleton's a great defender as well, can score the ball. But he also has a lot of days where it's just like people make a joke where it's either some days with Chris Middleton is either he's prime Michael Jordan or he's Chris Middleton. Like there's times where he drops like 44 against the Phoenix Suns or whatever the case. And then he'll have maybe 17, quiet game, nothing really much. But Jaylen Brown, I feel like he can easily be the best player on Boston if he was given that role, if that makes sense. But they have Jason Tatum, and Tatum's been amazing this year. I just think athletically, the lateral quicks, being able to defend the ball but also get to the rim and all those things, I feel like he's more dynamic of a player. And if I'm looking to start a team, I think I'd have to go with Jaylen Brown instead.
Oh, yeah. Jaylen Brown for me, too, all day. I think Chris Middleton's good, but he kind of his game of style doesn't allow him to extend beyond his game.
It's more of
type of thing, but
he's just
but I think Jaylen Brown has already done it younger and faster.
He's a perfect number two for Chris Middleton. And we saw that when they won the chip. Or even number three at times, because Jrue Holiday was hooping.
Jrue Holiday, man.
So, I'd have to go Jaylen Brown.
Because Middleton did struggle in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
He really struggled.
But he did make the big-time shots.
But he didn't make the big-time shots. But yeah, I would go Jaylen Brown for the same reasons as you. Absolutely. Okay, next we will go DeAndre Ayton or Rudy Gobert.
Oh my gosh, that's the hardest one I've said so far. DeAndre Ayton or Rudy Gobert?
I got mine already, I think. I got mine already. It's tough, though.
Okay. I have mine.
Okay.
I'm going to go Rudy Gobert.
I'm gonna go DeAndre Ayton's. That's our first one. Okay, what do you think?
Okay, the reason I'm gonna go with Rudy Gobert is because the NBA has drifted away from the bigs being a primary, you know. Although if you have a really dominant big like Philly or Denver, you can have success, but these are not, I think, bigs in that realm. But the reason I picked Gobert is because just Gobert alone being on the floor, that defense becomes insane. So I'm thinking if I get him, I'm building a team. My defense is now becoming one of the top three defenses in the NBA alone just with Rudy Gobert there. I'm not expecting him to be no offensive threat. If I wanted an offensive threat, I'd probably go with DeAndre Ayton and try to, you know, build like that. Obviously, Ayton's young. He can develop his game. But I feel like Gobert being the there's times where people drive into the paint, and just because Gobert's there, they just run back out. Like, I feel like people with Ayton, not saying Ayton's a bad defender, but I feel like guards are more... they're more inclined to attack him and be okay with trying to go up and take a tough shot rather than Gobert. There's that fear, that intimidation that they're going to get their shot swatted. So I think defensively, I'm trying to build my team that way. I got to go with Rudy Gobert.
Nope. Absolutely. No, I could agree with that to a certain extent because Rudy Gobert has a really long wingspan. He's fast. He's probably one of the best paint defenders in the league. Gets a lot of rebounds. His mainly game is defensive rebounds. You don't really need a lot of points from him, but it would help. But he's just there to be your defensive anchor. I agree. But I do pick Aiden over him.
I know you are Aiden.
The only reason is this is the first time I've seen Aiden play without Booker and without Chris Paul. And his last two games have been 30-8, 21-19. So he is capable of being that guy. He could do it because who else? Monty Williams is thinking, okay, we got campaign. DeAndre is your number one guy, and Michael Cooper is going to be our number two guy because we got our top two out right now. So DeAndre is going to be that guy. So I've seen flashes these last couple games. I'm thinking he could do it. He could be that guy. So I think what draw me towards Ayton is that's that mystery of, like, what if he's number one guy on a specific team? What can you do? What is he capable of? What can he do on defense? Obviously, Gobert's a better defender, but I feel like DeAndre Ayton is definitely more versatile. He could shoot better than Gobert, absolutely. I think he scored 1-3 versus Milwaukee, so he's had two games in a row, he went 1-for-1 in 3-pointers, so he's just getting better and better by age, and that's why I choose DeAndre Ayton. Just that mystery of thinking, I wonder what he could do if he's just in a situation by himself without any stars with him. Him becoming a star himself. So that's why I choose DeAndre Ayton. Okay. We'll get one more in, and then we'll go to our last segment. So the last one is Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal.
Ooh, I like that one. Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine. Both shooting guards. Both can shoot the ball. Been all-stars.
That's tough.
Probably would have been an all-star this year if he was healthy.
That's tough.
I think, it's crazy. If you asked me this a year ago, my answer would have been easy. But I think I would go with, I think I'd go with Zach LaVine. And just because I feel like he stays on the court more. We've seen Beal battle with injuries here and there. And he's just electric. If I'm building a team, I'm thinking box office type stuff too, right? And I think... having him, and we've seen what he can do with Chicago this season, obviously with other pieces around him, but Beal hasn't been able to put his team in that type of threshold. Obviously he hasn't had the surrounding pieces, but I think I gotta go Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time coming for Washington to make that push or Bradley Beal, but it just didn't happen. And
it seemed like it was, but
you could just see it coming to an end slowly year by year, but we'll see what happens. That's why I have to go with Zach LaVine as well. I feel like he's meshed well with the Chicago system, and he's flourishing in his own. And he's becoming more of almost like that fringe star type of guy.
Yes, that's exactly what I think.
Fringe star and more like of a role player back in when he was in Minnesota, which he was still good, but now he's becoming what he always wanted to be, and he's definitely gonna get. I think he's already. What's his contract right now? I don't even know.
I think he's gonna be
a free agent the year after.
I think he's actually a free agent
this year.
This year, I think.
So he about to get paid.
I think, or he has a player option. I'm not.
Someone's
sure.
Someone's gonna get paid.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna get the. He's definitely gonna get money because he's getting around 19 mil a year. That's gonna be a max contract.
Oh, he's about to get paid. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I would go with Zach.
Zach LaVine. Okay.
LaVine, and we got some breaking news for this last segment.
How much time has we been recording?
Ooh, 37 minutes.
Okay, so well, I guess you gotta wrap it up.
Okay, we'll just wrap it up. Okay, and I'm gonna say okay. What do you think of that one? What do you think? What do you think of that one? What do you think? Did you like that one?
I like that.
Or just like the other one better.
I like that segment because you kind of have to think, because you know, obviously we've seen from a sample size of certain players, but then you could think about their role. And that 8-1 is a great point because we've only seen him as that third option, but as the first option, he's put up some numbers, and I think some teams are looking at that. Portland, maybe.
Raptors
might be a team.
If we land Ayton.
I don't want to sound like an optimistic Raptor fan.
Oh, that'd be just the perfect pairing.
I'm going to sound like a generic Raptors fan, the same ones I was yelling at earlier if I say I can't wait for Ayton, because I know that's exactly what they'd be saying. But that wraps up the Hoop Central podcast, everything that we had to talk about. I hope you all enjoyed. And hey, Malik, what's a quote you can give to this? I know.
Peace, love, positivity, tranquility, and comfortability.
Whoa, this guy just
for all and the rest of the year. Sounds like the year's ending. The year is just getting started. Big things are happening. Nikhim and I are here to just chilling. Everyone's on the come up. Keep your head up. Keep your eyes wide open. Opportunities are coming, and keep smiling. And remember to show your teeth.
Hey, who is Gary V? We have Malik M here. Malik M here, but. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live and Spotify. We shall see you all in the next week's episode.
Peace.